We're going to discuss measuring quoted investments in subsidiaries.
We have been talking about this many times, right?
A few times since, yeah, since the comment period ended, yeah.
No, no, this is one of the things that has been going back and forth.
No, it's only a couple of times, actually. The comment letter analysis and in April as well.
All right.
Just a difficult subject, but.
Okay, please, Mariela.
Thank you very much, Hans. So good afternoon. Agenda paper 6 addresses possible project directions concerning the proposals of the exposure draft measuring quoted investments in subsidiaries, joint ventures and associates at fair value. And in particular, this paper outlines possible solutions for two of the questions, for the matters covered in two of the questions of AD, question 2 and question 3. Question 2 deals with the measurement of investments in subsidiaries, JVs and associates that are quoted in a market, in an active market. And question 3 relates to the measurement of the recoverable amount of cash generating units on the basis of fair value less cost of disposals when those cash generating units correspond to entities that are quoted in an active market. And we are bringing these two questions and the related possible directions for the project because these two questions cover the main areas dealt with in the exposure draft, which was the measurement at fair value of those investments and cash generating units. In addition, paragraph 3 of the paper mentions why we are not covering in this paper question 1, 4 and 5. Question 1 dealt with the unit of account for investment, and the board in the AED proposed that the unit of account was investment as a whole, and the majority of the respondents agreed with that proposal. So depending on the direction that this project undertakes and you decide on today, we would then reconfirm this proposal back with the board. Question 4 covered the application of paragraph 48 of IFRS 13 to a specific example and a specific situation, and the board discussed this in April. The board agreed a decision, and this issue has already been finalized. So that's why we are not discussing this either. And question 5 deals with transition provisions, and we will deal with this in due course depending on today's decisions. So going back then to questions 2 and 3, we think that before talking about the different possible project directions, it's worth mentioning what we received in the comment letters. And as said, these two questions dealt with a measurement, a proposed measurement for quoted investments and quoted cash generating units. That proposed measurement was to consider the quoted price of the individual financial instruments that were included in an investment. And that proposal was the majority of the respondents did not agree with that proposal. And the reason that we receive and that we consider the key one is that many of those respondents believed that there is a lack of alignment between the unit of account being the investment as a whole and the measurement proposed, which considers the quoted price of the individual financial instrument. So it's a conceptual reason, it's a lack of alignment between the unit of account and the proposed measurement. Having given you this summary of the status, then we are proposing the following three options to continue work on this area. Option A would be to undertake research on the proposed measurement to understand this measurement better, and from there then follow a standard process of redeliberations with the board. Option B would basically consist of holding the work on this project on this area right now and deal with it in the post-implementation review of IFRS 13, which is expected to take place by the end of this year or early next year. And then option C, which is the one that we recommend, would also start with research on this proposed measurement and fit this research to the post-implementation review. And we know that this strategy was also followed in IFRS 3, and in that project, the IFRIC staff dealt outreach on a specific area of IFRS 3, which was the business definition, And this research was presented publicly to the IFRIC committee, in an IFRIC committee meeting, and the work was handed over to the staff doing the first phase of the PRI of IFRS 3. And that resulted in a considerable saving in time, because in the first phase, in phase one of IFRS 3, then the staff knew that that was for sure a key area to be considered in the request for information. So this is the option that we recommend to continue working on this area, but however then also feed this, the result of this research and this analysis to the post-implementation review of IFRS 13. And the question to the board is whether they, the board agrees with this recommendation.
Could I just ask one question? You said the PIR might be the end of this year or the beginning. Mm. Is that right? I mean, that seems very soon.
Because we are getting there. It's not the final year, and we are looking at it, but that's when the period when we, because the effective date was 1st of January 2013, so that's when it comes up. We are not saying exactly when that will start, but
beginning of next year.
Possibly, yes. But
we're not gearing up to start it, or we're not, you know, we haven't made any preparations. Okay.
Daryl?
I think it's a shame that we would be pushing this out again if we were to go down the route of the PIR, so either B or C in terms of options. I think particularly because we have gone out to consultants, we've asked them for, gone out to constituents, we've asked them for information, we've incorporated that information into the process we're doing. At the same time, I think one of the reservations, personally for me at least, about changing this and going for a block approach, so moving away from P times Q, was because I thought this issue was far bigger than the specific instruments we were being asked to look at. It was a much broader issue, and I think we need to think about it in a much broader context. So I would support where the staff have landed, but I think what we really need to be very transparent about how we have taken the information we've obtained through this process and fed it into the PIR. Because I think people did put a lot of effort into it, and I think we need to be clear that that effort wasn't a wasted effort.
I agree with the staff recommendation. One of the things I think it would be good to look at as part of the research, and you may already be thinking about it, but just to confirm, is I think a lot of people raise concerns about the relevance of the information, because the sort of working assumption is that there's a big difference between the P times Q answer and what you might get if you had control premiums or a premium because of significant influence. And if we were able to do some work on that or find academic information about that to support whether or not we really are talking about a big difference in the numbers, I think that would be a very useful piece of information to have for our analysis.
Just to give, and this is to confirm my understanding, I fully understand, we looked at level one P times Q, but in the research that we are looking at to go in, would your suggestion would be is just don't restrict yourself, consider the broader implications of that?
I think we need to be considering the broader considerations of both the scope from the type of thing as well as, yeah. And I think one of the difficulties here is the inconsistency that we have between level one and level two, but there's also the inconsistency we would potentially have between different blocks. So a listed block that is a subsidiary versus a listed block that is something else.
Perfect.
Martin?
I think we should go for option A, because I think it's a little bit strange if
we...
First one. Not waiting until the FCPIR, because I think we have consulted on that. We were given a feedback, and I think maybe we don't like the feedback, but if we would have the feedback which we asked for, maybe then we have concluded already, but now we don't like the feedback, and now we want to postpone it in the PIR. And I think that is not the right thing to do, because I think clearly we have to do some more research to understand what it means if we don't measure it P times Q. But based on this research, I think we can make a decision and don't have to wait until we have done all other works on the post-implementation review for other, because I think it is an issue which we can decide. Because otherwise we have also decided, if the answers from the constituents were use P times Q, I think nobody would have raised to wait until to make this decision.
But I can,
yeah.
I may be completely wrong, but isn't one of the principles of IFRS 13 for value measurement that if there is market information available, you use that. You go for level one. If there is no direct market information, you go for other indicators, then you go for level two, and if not everything else fails, then you go to level three. And here we have a situation where there is level one information.
No, that's a question. That is exactly the question.
But can I respond to the...
Well,
the science of the unit of account.
Well, yeah, that's the question.
That is the question.
The unit of account.
But yeah. Can I just respond to Martin's assessment that we've got a clear direction on what to do? I'm not sure that that's the case. We certainly got a fairly strong steer, I think, from preparers and maybe audit firms that what their preference would be. But we've got, from my recollection, a unanimous view from users of financial statements that their preference was not to move away from P times Q. And I think we've got very different feedback from different stakeholders, and I'm not sure that without some more analysis and work that we should dismiss that so lightly.
Now, based on my recollection, no users have provided us with a comment letter.
No,
that doesn't matter.
But that's not also, we did speak to them quite a bit. We've spoke to the user outreach panels, and I think from what I recollect, that was the only time I got a unanimous view on this one from users.
But Kumar, in the paper that says the reason is that you've got numbers you can use, you know, it's kind of a level one argument. But that doesn't seems a funny reason to me.
That's what Article 13 says.
Well, but that's what Hans just said, and we disputed it. That
well, it depends whether you think there's a level one price for the big block.
That's right. But and it also seems to me that P times Q doesn't give you the right answer. That's
I think the problem here, and I think that even the preparer users who were responding to the broader issue, which is that they think that there are many circumstances where P times Q doesn't give the right answer. And so we're giving an answer for this narrow position that we've put to them saying change this, but I don't think they were then considering the broader issue of the fact that there's all sorts of other places where we revert to P times Q in spite of. And then I think to Sue's point, I think users generally seem to prefer P when it comes from a
market
exchange, so we have to solve that overall issue. And I think my point is just that I think when we solve this, we need to solve it for the broader, for everything, so we get consistent, rather than having various cliff effects between different methods.
But
or
if that is true, why we have, from the first place, tried to answer this question? Because if it's a broader view, we should say it from the beginning. But it was come from the interpretation committee, it's diversity in practice, and therefore I think we added it to our agenda. And then we get feedback which was maybe not consistent with our preferred solution, and now we're saying we have to look at it in the protocol.
And I think Martin, that's because the view that we expressed in the exposure draft was consistent with the way other products in similar positions are treated. So we said, treat this little narrow example consistent with all other P times Q, listed P times Q situations. Now the feedback we've got is people don't want to do that, but that suggests that the whole broader issue is a problem, not just this narrow one.
Can I also just mention, the issue came to us from IFRIC, and we tried to address a question that was raised in front of IFRIC, and IFRIC couldn't address, and it came to the board. We addressed part of the question. Let's not forget, we also addressed the issue of the exception in IFRS 13, paragraph 48, that's been done. This is the bit which has become broader. It has got other implications, and that's what we are saying. We could carry on option A, that's not a problem, but I think it will overlap with the PIR work.
I think we are facing an internal contradiction that we have hard time to solve. Either we say IFRS 13 must be prioritized, and because it is quoted, you have level one prices, and then you apply P times Q. But let's not pretend then that we measure the investment as a whole as being what we measure. We measure each share that forms this investment. Yeah. So we are inconsistent with saying that the unit of account is the investment. If you apply P times Q, the unit of account is each share in that investment. This is our contradiction.
This is
what people have said clearly. Yeah. Now we have to make a decision whether we go one way or the other, but we cannot ride two horses at the same time. As Jan said, saying that always P times Q is the best measurement basis can create some strange results. If you are an investment company, you buy an investment in a company you control, you pay goodwill, you have to write off this goodwill immediately. That is kind of strange accounting, maybe. Now, the other solution is to say, okay, what you measure is not each share of that investment, it is the investment as a whole, and then P times Q needs to be adjusted to reflect that you paid a goodwill for a control premium or other situations. But we cannot have an internal contradiction.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a case where the comment letter process convinced me that the view that Martin expressed has a lot of merit. And I would go down the path of option A as well. I think we've received some very good suggestions from respondents, including those in paragraphs 11A and 11B. I don't see what further analysis, frankly, is going to produce in terms of different or new ideas. I think the issue that Philippe articulated is essentially the one we have to reconcile. And I think it's a matter of deciding which of these you're going to use. Are you going to adhere strictly to a P times Q, where those available inputs exist, or are you going to look at the unit of account differently here? Which trumps the other? And I could see a way to bridge the gap is using the idea in 11A. I could live with that. I think that's reasonable. But I think postponing it to the PIR is just kicking the can down the road. I think we have the resources. We have the time right now to do something here. Yes. So,
Mariana? Yes, I would like to add something. When we did all the work so that this ED was published, we never undertook work to understand how pervasive this issue is in reality. And basically what I'm trying to say is that we don't know how many investment entities. We presume there are very little ones, actually very few ones, that have quoted investments. So we don't know how, in reality, even those of the majority of the respondents said that they were disagreeing with this proposal, conceptually for them it's flawed, and all of this message was clear. We don't really know how many of those that basically are opposing to these proposals are suffering from them. So we don't think that there are out many entities that in their separate financial statements are measuring those investments in subsidiaries at fair value. We don't know how many investment entities actually have investments in quoted entities. So we don't know how pervasive is those proposals. And we thought that the post-implementation review was going to help us in assessing this better. Because it can come up with, we go for option A, and then in the post-implementation review, when we ask entities whether they really face difficulties in doing these requirements in IFRS 13, they said, well, we don't have a quoted subsidiary, so we don't know. So is that a critical issue then to be considered in the request for information then? So this is the only puzzle that I see.
Sure, I would say yes. The answer is yes. I would consider it.
Mary.
I support the staff recommendation and thinking about Pat's concern about this just delaying where we come to. I think there's a difference. If we were going to confirm the proposals in the ED, and particularly the P times Q, I think we could do that in advance of the PIR of the standard, because that is one of the overarching requirements of IFRS 13. But if we were going to look at responding to some of the feedback from the exposure draft by looking again at the unit of account and saying that this is a time when the unit of account, that it's the investment as a whole, therefore takes you out of P times Q, I think we're starting piecemeal reconsideration of IFRS 13. And I don't know, I think if we did it outside the context of a PIR and understanding other things that we may or may not want to look at, that we could find ourselves doing and undoing things in a series. So because to Martin's point about why do we feel we could have confirmed it if they'd supported our view versus going ahead and confirming if on the basis of the disagrees, I think there's very different tensions with the rest of IFRS 13 for the two different answers. And it would become one of those things where we would then have knock-on, follow-on things. So I'd say better to wait for the PIR and put all the any other issues together with it. Like Philippe, I I do see now, and I did see before, some tension between the unit of account conclusion, so that when you say in paragraph 3 that we could confirm the proposals in the ED or reconsider the proposals in the ED relating to that, I'd say let's wait on that too, rather than saying because there was general level of agreement with that. I think it's too intertwined with this. So, you know, this question of what does that conclusion mean in terms of what you're trying to measure? And I Daryl mentioned in passing potential inconsistencies within IFRS 13, whichever way we go, because there's an implication in some of the responses that if we force P times Q when there was an observable market, that we'd then get big differences when you went to level 2 when there wasn't. And I don't think you would, because I think the logic that we laid out in the ED was that a control premium or discount was inappropriate for, not just because of P times Q, but because of what you were trying to reflect if you were an investment entity. And I think the implication would have been it would have been inappropriate to make such an adjustment in a level 2 or level 3 estimation as well as a conceptual matter. And if people didn't understand that, I think that's another issue that we have to follow up on. All of this says to me that there's more here than we may think, you know, than may appear just with the narrow issue, and that we'd end up wasting time and effort by trying to pursue this separately of the rest of IFRS 13. The last thing, IFRS 13 is one of the standards that was part of the MOU work plan, and I think it would be helpful to understand what FASB's plans are. Their standard was out before ours, so I'm not sure if they have plans for a PIR, and if they do, what the timing is.
Done.
Okay. And whether or not they have any of the issues that we have here as we think about the way forward. Because I can't see why. I'd like somebody to explain to me why people applying IFRS are facing this issue, and people applying the same things under U.S. GAAP. It may be the interaction with investment entity that means that they don't have it there, but if they've done it and didn't identify this problem, why do we have it? That's the last request in terms of thinking about things.
In terms of measurement basis, I agree with Foley, with Marty, but in terms of process, I would strongly support staff proposal. The reason is, on the one hand, on the measurement basis, the reason I agree with Marty is because, you know, we confused the quoted price, brokerage issues, and the asset we are now discussing in this case. You know, the reason why I support Marty is, in China now, it is so active in the, we call the second and third tier market. You know, it is quoted and it's very active, there's a level of price, but the asset, the investment quoted, the exchange, not on the basis of individual shares. You know, they are buying sell 5%, 10%. You know, this is exactly what Martin said. They're not traded in a one share basis. It is different from a centralized, you know, the level one, you know, exchange market. They trade on individual share basis. But in this market, they trade in a unit, which may be 5%, 10%. Then how can you have a one share basis and multiply by quantity? No. So I agree with. But on the other hand, you know, I agree with the staff proposal is because Marty, you know, people will not fully support you or support me. And some others will feel, you know, P times Q is the legitimate basis, which they will feel 13 is defined this way. I would not agree with, but others feel this way, that it is impossible, Marty, we can win in the short term.
I'll resist trying to talk about the technical question here, which is not what we're being asked. It's difficult, and I'm not sure it's an easy answer, and I certainly don't have such strong views as obviously others do. What I do know is that we need more research. So whatever we do, we have to think carefully about this. But I'm afraid I'm not convinced that we should punted off into the post-implementation review, because that seems to me to be any standard setting is going to be a long, long way out as a result. And this does seem to be an issue that we should opine on. I mean, maybe we have to re-expose, but just to sort of indefinitely, it's not indefinitely deferring it, but it just seems to push it out a long way. If there were interactions with other parts of 13, then I could understand, but I don't see what those interactions are.
The key issue that comes up, Steve, is the issue, you know, when we were doing 13, I think, and I'll get Mariela, is how do you deal with blockage and other factors which adjust? This was a big issue when 13 was going on. And as soon as you go into adjusting level one prices, we will have to address this issue. Like, what are those adjustments? Their research will help us, but I think we will bring into the block discounts, the premiums, and how do you handle them when you have a level one block.
But isn't that exactly what this is about?
We haven't, in level one, we have said, if we are going to say that move away and explore, we will have to bring that issue up. As of now, initially when the ED, what we were saying was that primarily the overriding principle is the quoted market price, which is the 13 principle. That's what was the basis for that. Now, it does create a conflict with the unit of account, which is there in the exposure draft, and the board expressed it and things. So if you have got to explore that, that is the interaction that I can see immediately coming up. How do we address that?
I mean, is it going to be an easier problem to solve in a PIR?
Not necessarily, Steve. To be honest, not necessarily. We'll still have to do the research, but we might get a better feel of what we are facing and how pervasive this thing is before we open it up.
The trouble is, we're going to then consult on it three times. We've asked this question already. The PIR will be asking people, and they'll be writing letters saying this needs to be solved. Then we'll do another exposure draft, and we'll ask them the third time about solving it.
Steve, as you said, we have to do research. It's because people have different understanding of...
Absolutely. It's a difficult question. Very, very difficult. And it was difficult the last time we discussed it. It will be difficult the next time we discuss it. But
it's not going to get easier.
Gary.
Thank you. I actually support option A. As I look at option A and C, the immediate next steps, maybe several months, maybe next year, are largely going to be the same thing. And you might not need to even decide right now, are you going to go towards a PIR or towards a new standard or an amendment of 13, I guess. And I think the research questions are going to still be the same questions. What do you do about blockage? What about control? What do you do about synergy? So I could take one view, is that you don't have to decide what you're going to do with the research right now. Wait and see, and if the PIR is going along, by the time this gets done, maybe it does roll into there, but if it's not, maybe we go to a final standard, because I think the work is the same. That being said, I agree with Stephen's point, is I think it goes to a PIR, we're looking in terms of years, as opposed to maybe a solution a year from now, because I think the research issues are the same. So for that reason, I support A.
Very quick. For the reasons expressed by others before me and summarized by Gary, I think option A is the right option for us to pursue. In practical terms, could be that we start a PIR at some point and we hadn't eventually finalized this. Of course, we can incorporate this into the PIR. I came to the meeting under the view that option A and C are exactly the same to me. It's only a matter of we are communicating that, okay, we are working, but we are not going to really decide before the PIR is finalized. This is the worst yeah. point. So I guess option A to me is the natural one to pursue.
They're the same. Should we vote?
Chang Wu.
The same.
Thank you. As many other board members said, I also prefer the option A, and the related to these questions, maybe as Sue in the beginning suggested, we would like to have some kind of actual evidence, if you can collect, for us to make a kind of informed decisions, rather than the conceptual debate discussions. You know, the preparers and users have different views on this case. So if you just search for some kind of a real M&As or some kind of a big chunk of the purchase transactions, you might compare P times Q, that amount, with some real transaction price or purchase price. So if we can get such a good evidence, maybe then we can make the conclusion more easily. Another thing is, if the P times Q, based on our discussion, you know, if we just think about some kind of block or control premium, anything, then when, for what unit of account can this P times Q be applied? Just one individual? Stop? So, you know, it's a little confusing, you know, because, you know, this P times Q principle is gone. There's no unit of account can be applied.
That's not right, because when you can maybe buy, let's Daimler Chrysler share, maybe you can 5% of the all outstanding shares, it's P times Q, but you clearly cannot buy 100% of that at the price which is listed for one share. And that is really the difference here.
So when you come to report,
but to answer the question,
the preparers are going to do academic research to see what kind of a premium they have to include, or
I don't just
no, because I say, but if you have already, the problem is if you have a transaction, as Philip explained, if you are an investment company, you buy an investment and have already at one day have bought maybe 10% premium on that. Based on our standards, the next day you have to write off this 10% because it is P times Q.
Yeah.
And is that right? I don't think so. And you, if you have a current transaction with a unit of account, a full entity, I think it better demonstrates than the P times Q. And that is, for me, a better fair value than the P times Q, which is not the unit of account, which you cannot
measure.
At least
you still have a market price. That's right.
Yes. You have a market price for one share, but you don't have a market price for...
Yes, because you have the transaction price.
You have the transaction price.
Yeah, but obviously that's easy 2 days after you bought it. It's not so easy 10 years later.
Yeah.
I think that the difference that we have, the problem that we're grappling with, I think, which is why I think some research on it is helpful, is my recollection, Mariella, if we go back when we were looking at this originally, was that the initial research we did would suggest that control premiums typically weren't big numbers. But I think everybody who's responding to us is thinking they're going to be able to recognise big differences between the P times Q and the number they're going to come up with for their fair value measurement. And I think if we are going to move away from P times Q, which is an open question, then we need to get a better angle around what exactly it is that we feel is relevant to the measure, so that it's just not a free-for-all number that
But we do
up
that
with.
Other under option A or option C.
Yes, exactly.
So,
it's
not a question.
It's not really that I'm fighting about A or C. It's more a suggestion that we've got enough information now to decide what we can do, because I really don't agree with that.
Okay. Can I see who is in favour of option A?
Ten. Okay.